Hello, and welcome back to the Shades of Magic Read-Along. We are finishing A Gathering of Shadows today. I am so excited because it is part 8. It is time for the Essentosh. We have set the board. We have met the players. We have put everybody in the exact same place. Paths have collided. Plots are intertwining. And it is time for the Element Games to begin. The Element Games are definitely my love letter to all of my favorite anime magical tournaments. I grew up on like Yu Yu Hakusho and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood and Avatar The Last Airbender. The Essentosh is all of these things. The Essentosh is just my love letter to magical battle sequences. So, without further ado, we start with Kel waking from a terrible nightmare. day of, and he is excited to be participating as Kamroth Lost. He goes downstairs and the king is like, "Where do you think you're going?" And he's like, "To the tournament?" And no, actually the royal family's like, "Oh, we're all going together, and aren't you going with us?" And he's like, "Well, I think that it's probably safer if I'm not in close proximity to Rai, since I hold his life in my hands." And with that, he makes his adieu and he heads to the tournament opening, and in the tunnels leading out to kind of like the tournament beginning, he meets and speaks with Stassi and Elsor, who is obviously Lila Bard. Now, both Lila Bard and Kel are wearing masks, wearing full face helmets, and so they greet each other and they have no idea that it's each other, which it's like the meet cutes on steroids in this book, right? It's just ships in the night, ships in the day. Elemental tournament magicians before a tournament begins. We have chapter 2 with Rai giving his opening remarks, basically saying the rules of the tournament. We find out that we have 36 magicians from the 3 empires, that the first round will get them down to 18, the next round to 9, the next round to 3, and there will be one victorious. We also learned that magicians will be allowed to use one element in the first round. If they are capable of 2 elements, they can use 2 elements in the second round, 3 elements in the third. So the games become more intense as they go. We will also discover soon, I'm not even going to get there yet. I'm going to go in order, all right? Just look at me trying to skip ahead. So essentially, Rai is like, "Let the games begin, bitches." And with that, we cut to Lila Bard, who is definitely having an oh fuck, what did I get myself into moment. Lila Bard, who has actually conned her way into a tournament of magic, is realizing this was a terrible idea. Is realizing she has no business being there. Is realizing she is just royally fucked. She sees Alucard Emery, who's like, "Yeah, you're fucked. Like, good luck. And I have no pity for you." She finds out that her first pairing is going to be against a Vaskin magician named Sar, who is a woman that is built like an actual mountain. So once again, Lila is like, "I am so screwed." She goes into her private tent and she meets Ister, who's a priest and also is going to be performing the role of her assistant in terms of getting her ready. We learn that they essentially wear plates of armor to their duels, and you have to shatter 8 plates of your opponent's armor to win the match. So she's fitted with her armor. She is hearing these rules for the very first time. It's not a good time to hear the rules right before you go out. Meanwhile, we cut to Kel, who is being dressed in the same armor by Hastra, his soldier, our love, who was able to grow that plant and that we definitely used to like presage his murder, but it's fine. Hastra addresses Kel, who then steps out to people chanting his name. Well, not his name, Kamarov's name, but it's still very exciting. Now, the first match is actually Alucard Emery's. Lila watches Alucard fight and is really impressed by her captain because he's a pretty badass magician, it turns out. Tirin steps up beside Lila, who is dressed as Stassian, remember, and essentially asks her why she's not getting ready. And we find out that Lila actually fights last that day. So she is watching Alucard. Alucard wins handily in his first bout. Kamarov's match is up next, and she stays and she gets caught up in watching Kamarov fight and notices he has a very familiar way about him. Meanwhile, Rai is up in the stands with the royal family. He is watching and talking to the king about political matters and the importance of, you know, this entire spectacle. All the while, he is feeling Kel getting his ass kicked, right? He is feeling Kel's match because whatever Kel feels, Rai feels too. So he's trying to keep a straight face. As down in the ring, Kamarov essentially is winning, but he's like, doesn't want to make it look too easy. Because he said, remember, not being an Antari magician down there, he's trying to pretend like he's an ordinary magician. And Rai feels every single blow. He's also making excuses to the king for where Kel is, because Kel should be there in the royal box with them. And of course, he's not. Lila, it's about time for her first match. She is psyching herself out. She is like, I should just leave. I should probably go. And this is a terrible idea. And she has to choose her first element to go up against her opponent. And she chooses fire. And we cut back to a flashback of Alucard on the Night Spire teaching Lila Bard magic. So we learn how she learned magic a bit. And we cut back to the match where Lila is very quickly getting her ass handed to her. She is getting her ass kicked, but she's loving it because she is a fighter, remember? And she realizes that there is a fundamental difference between her and every other magician there, which is that Lila Bard is used to fighting for her life. Lila is not used to sparring with lots of rules and everyone playing nicely. Lila is going to win by fighting dirty. And so the first thing she does is essentially position herself on the edge of the stands in front of the entire crowd, because obviously her attacker is not going to hit the crowd behind her, and it buys her just enough time for her to get a leg up, and she starts to win the match by playing dirty. And the more she fights, the more naturally magic begins to come to her, the more it just unfolds inside her. And shocking everyone, but especially Lila, she wins her first match. We cut to Kel and Rai debriefing, and Kel is having fun. And Rai is like, did you have to get your ass kicked a couple of those times, though? And he's like, I have to make it believable. And meanwhile, we run into the king, and the king says, you know, I've thought about what you said, Kel, about we have to keep you safe and away from Rai. I think it would be better if you stayed at the palace during the tournament. You can watch from the palace balconies, but I think you should stay here. And Kel's like, yeah, sure, of course, sir. I totally understand. And essentially the king walks away and he's like, I know you don't trust me anymore. And like, I have been nothing but good to this family and you've been a dick. So if I lie and it makes you feel better, great. But I'm going to do what I want to do. So Kel is feeling a little rambunctious. We cut to White London, where Holland, who remember, has now decided that he's going to give Kel to Oseron as a vessel for his magic so that he can get out of this whole situation. Holland summons his servant, Oshka. Just a quick reminder, because we haven't really talked about Oshka since the first week. Oshka is essentially a servant that Oseron and Holland gave Antari magic to. And we learn that essentially they tried to give Antari magic to several humans and they all just disintegrated. But Oshka has been able to hold Antari magic inside her. She's not as strong a vessel as an actual Antari magician, but she's a pretty good proxy for an Antari magician. And she goes to Holland, who summons her, and he wants to test out a collar he has designed, a spelled collar. And when he puts it around her neck, it cuts her off from all of her magic. It severs all of her power. It's terrifying. And he immediately takes it back off and he's like, good servant, go recover. We have many things to do. But we understand that this is the thing which he is designing for Kel. We also learn that in this scene that Holland and Oshka have a telepathic connection, that he can think things to her. This is going to come in handy a little bit later in the book. So part 9, collision course. In part 9, we have Lila feeling the aftermath of winning that first bout. She is hurting all over. Alucard Emery, completely unsympathetic. He's like, once again, you shouldn't even be in this tournament. So I'm not going to feel bad. She watches him win a second time, and then she watches Kamarov fight a second time, and she's like, hold up. This dude looks so familiar. And then, meanwhile, we cut to Kel, and Kel is having to fight really hard to not use his own magic. Remember, he's having to try twice as hard as everyone else because he's having to pull back so much. And he lets a few blows in. Lila looks up to the royal box and sees Rai flinch. And Lila knows about the bond between Kel and Rai. Lila knows that when Kel hurts, Rai hurts. And she looks back to this dude, Kamarov, who's fighting down the ring. And she's like, I know who that is, obviously. And she is feeling like a pig in shit knowing this secret about Kel. So Kel wins his match. Lila tries to focus on her own match. At this time, she opts for fire and water because it's the second round, so she's allowed two elements. We have a very handy flashback of Alucard teaching her how to balance two elements. Lila fights, and she's fighting against a pharaoh and magician who is known for having a very bad temper. This is going to come back. This is going to play in. She wins, but she cheats. She doesn't know how she cheated, but somehow at the very last crucial moment, her opponent's body seems to slow down against his will so that she's able to get the last blow in. Now, this is obviously bone magic. This is obviously forbidden, and this is something that Antari magicians have access to. And I'm not saying that Lila Bard is an Antari. I'm just saying that, like, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's starting to act like a duck. And she wins, and we're like, oh shit. She's like, I don't know how I did that. And the person that she's fighting against, who has just lost illegally, is like, we have a red flag moment there. He is angry. He is pissed off. So, but she wins and she moves forward. Meanwhile, Kel makes it to the top nine, and the next is going to be three groups of three, and only the highest person, the highest number of points, is going to advance from the three groups of three. And Rai tells him he better start losing, like, very quickly. And Kel's like, why would I do that? And he's like, need I remind you, he's going to remind us, the readers as well, that the rules change quite drastically for the top three, that due to a previous scandal in which somebody used their position or used the mask to try and assassinate a royal, when it gets to the top three magicians, they have to unmask. There's an unmasking ceremony where the three top magicians are presented without their masks, without their armor, before the three empires. Just basically, he can't do this. He can't be unmasked. It's not going to work. And so he's like, make sure, Rai is like, make sure you lose and get out before it gets to top three. You got to start losing. We also learn that Hastra, poor little Hastra, sweet baby summer child Hastra, is like, hey, Kel, are you sure the king knows what you're doing? Because, like, it seemed like he didn't know what you were doing. And we basically learn that, like, Hastra told a lie to the king, to his king, for Kel. And Kel's like, don't worry, you won't have to lie much longer. I have to drop out really soon. Meanwhile, that Lila considers going to that night's ball. There's balls every single night Lila considers going, but instead she goes to the docks. Alucard joins her briefly and then leaves. And this is where the Pharaoh that she beat, the man who she used forbidden magic on, he and his friends show up and are basically like, you shouldn't have done that. You cost me my tournament. And she's like, you were going to lose anyway. Anyway, and they kick the shit out of her and knock her unconscious. And this gets to my least favorite chapter in the book, least favorite to write, because Lila Bard is buried alive. This was a panic attack inducing scene to write. She wakes up inside of a coffin that has been hammered shut. And it really was a matter of time before Lila Bard pissed somebody off to this degree. I don't know why any of us is surprised, but we cut back to a flashback of Alucard trying to teach Lila very handily to find calm when she can't see the magic that she's trying to access. She manages to break out of the coffin. Oh, very important point is, before these men jumped her, she essentially warned them, if you do this, I will kill you all. And she was like, you should probably let me go right now, because I am definitely a person of my word. If you do this, I will kill you all. If you let me go, I will only kill this dude who clearly gave you the orders. They did not listen to this. It is now going to come back to bite them. Because Lila gets out of that coffin, which, thank God, it was not underground yet. It was loaded onto a cargo ship. And she goes and she finds the Pharaoh and trio who did this to her, and she kills them all. Unfortunately, she is now late to her match. The person that she has a match against is Kamarov, a.k.a. Kel. Kel is standing there, and he has accidentally won a match and is being berated by Rai, who was like, I told you to start losing. And he was like, it was an accident. I kind of won. And he's like, okay, but now you absolutely have to lose this next match against Stassian Elsor, a.k.a. Lila Bard. And it looks like it's going to be forfeited to Kel, who would then win his entire category because Lila hasn't showed up. Lila makes it just in time. Ister, her servant, helps her get ready. It's a close combat match. Stassi and Elsa appears, and Kel Maresh very quickly realizes upon close inspection that this is Lila Bard. And Kel is like, you have got to be fucking me. Like, you've just, like, what the fuck? what is happening right now? Like, I am supposed to fight Lila. He is so totally thrown and also not allowed to win. And Lila gets the upper hand and Lila wins the goddamn match. And Kel is like stunned. Lila does not stick around to have a confrontation with him about this. She flees into her tent. She is also starting to feel a little bit tired. We have to remember she fought and then was kidnapped, buried alive, broke out, killed three men, went and fought her match against Kel. It's starting to catch up to her. Kel catches up to Rai and is like, holy shit, Stassian Elsor is Lila Bard. And just as they're talking about this, the king catches up to them and he's like, Kel Maresh, I told you to stay in the goddamn palace. You are now under house arrest. The next time I see you off of palace grounds, I'm arresting both of your guards. Like, there will be charges. Like, you had one order. You're going to obey my order now. It's now mandatory. Rai is like, that's fine, but he can still come to the ball tonight, right? And the king is like, yeah, sure. It's in the palace, whatever. Rai's like, party time. He's very excited because he knows Lila Bard's probably going to be there and it's going to be like drama across the board. Spoiler alert, it's going to be drama. So Lila goes to Kel. Lila has decided she has to go to this ball. This is going to be her confrontation with Kel. She's going to get the upper hand somehow. She goes to Kel, who is basically her tailor at this point. And Kel picks a dress for her. Lila decides she's going to throw Kel off guard with a new kind of disguise. Meanwhile, Holland sends Oshka to Red London to find Kel. And we're like, dun, 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 that's not going to end well. And that brings us to the last part in A Gathering of Shadows, Catastrophe. It's a very promising part title, if you ask me. Lila goes to the ball that night and Kel says, dance with me. And basically we have this scene that we've been waiting for this whole book because they've been ships in the night and passing each other and not interacting. And this is a head-on interaction. And they talk about wanting to leave. And Lila's like, next time come with me. And he's like, next time stay. And like, they're just got this little back and forth banter. And he's worried about how much magic Lila is using. And he tells her that she should drop out. And she's like, fuck off, mind your own business. It's my life. And then Alucard shows up and is like, Bard, my sailor. And Kel is like, of all the people in this world that you could go and sail with, you chose this asshole. And she's like, what? He's my captain. And Kel's like, I can't deal with you. You didn't even stay with me. You like left to travel the world and you chose the worst dude. Anyway, betrayal. Kel storms off and Lila goes after him and is like, what is your problem? And she's like, he's a bad dude. And then she's like, live my own life. This is really not doing justice to the scene. You should probably just read the scene because it's like one of my favorite ones in the book. And then they make out and it's pretty hot. And in the last version, just so you know, in the original version of this video that I filmed like a month ago, I read that whole page to you, but I'm too tired now. So you're gonna have to read page 455 yourself. So they have a hookup and he's like, hey, definitely drop out of the tournament. And she's like, hey, dude, leave me alone. Meanwhile, Oshka gets to Red London and she sees what her world could have been with power. And she's appalled because remember, she's seeing White London being slowly revived by magic and she thought it had come so far. And then she sees Red London and she realizes it's a candle versus a bonfire. And it makes her so angry. And she sees Kel. She's essentially like lurking on the outside of this ball. And she sees Kel and she wants to grab him. And Holland is like, just wait and be patient. And Lila wakes up the next day for the last day of the tournament. And she feels like absolute hell. And she is clearly kind of starting to unravel. And she tells herself that she'll be fine. She'll be fine. She'll be fine. She's not going to be fine. Kel watches from the palace balcony, because remember, he is now under house arrest. And sure enough, Lila pushes herself way too hard in the match, and she loses, and then she collapses. And Kel rushes to her side. Of course he does. And Lila snaps at him that she doesn't need his goddamn help. And Kel lashes out at her and at Rai, who arrives and tells them to keep it down. And he loses his cool. And he's like, he says, why am I the only one in this fucking world to be held accountable for my actions? Which is fair. Meanwhile, Lila has like black blood dripping from her nose. She has clearly been pushing her magic too far. And he's like, fuck all of you. Like, fuck you, Prince. Fuck you, Lila. I am so sick of looking out for everybody else. And he essentially has a little, like, strop, and he goes off to Grey London. He's like, I'm gonna leave you all. I'm gonna go on a walk. And he goes on a walk where nobody can find him, which historically has not gone very well for him. Maxim arrives at the tents and is like acting like nothing's wrong, like little wave to everybody. And he's like, Rye, where's Kel? And Rye's like, I don't know. And he's like, it's fine. Let's just do our job. And Kel tells him, or the king tells Rye to go get ready for the evening's ball, which is going to be our victor's unmasking ceremony for our top three. Meanwhile, Kel is in Grey London and he goes to the stone's throw and he talks to Ned. Rye is at the unmasking ceremony, and our top three are a Farrowin and a Veskin and Alucard Emery from Arns. He's in his top three. Rye does not want to be there. He's pissed. He's worried about Kel. Lila talks with him, and in Grey London, Kel realizes that he really needs to go home. So Kel realizes, what am I doing? I need to be home. I need to be with Rye. I need to protect him. Oshka is in Red London and she's looking for Kel and she's like, God damn it. He was just here. I don't know where he went. I've lost him. And Rye, meanwhile, trying to get Kel to come home, starts carving into his own skin the word sorry, knowing that Kel will feel it. Kel is like, yeah, I am such an asshole. I need to get home. He goes home and he's welcomed very publicly by the royal family just in time for the final battle between the top three contenders. He stands with the prince and the king and the queen watching this all go down. Alucard wins and he's like, fucking of course he does. Like, I just, nothing in this world is fair. And as soon as the spectacle is done, the king orders Kel arrested for betraying, for breaking his rules, for leaving when he was told not to. Meanwhile, Lila and the crew are out celebrating Alucard's victory, and she's thinking about Tirin, who said to her at the ball that he wasn't sure whether or not she was Antari, that who knows what she is. That's going to be important for the very last page of this book. Lila isn't really in the mood. She leaves and she heads to the palace where Tirin tells her that something has happened to Kel, that something being obviously that Kel has been arrested. We cut to Kel being imprisoned. He has a conversation with the queen. He has a conversation with Rye. Rye tries to get him out of the prison and it doesn't work. Rye storms away past Lila and she enlists him to like go free Kel then. She's like, fine, don't listen to the orders. Like, go, let's do something about it, right? She's really good at rallying troops. Kel and the king finally have a talk and the king lets Kel go. And Kel's like, yeah, you can't force me to stay. I'm literally like the most powerful dude in this world. Bye. He storms off into the orchard to have feelings. And he's standing in the royal orchard and Oshka arrives. Oshka is like, hey, she claims to be a messenger from a king in White London. And she says that she needs his help. And when he says why, she says, because it's your fault. She says, because you struck down the Danes and you killed our last true Antari, but you can help us. Our city needs you. Please come meet with my king and help him rebuild. And remember, this is right after he's had this huge falling out with his own king. And he is partially responsible for the aftermath of the Dane twins and what he thinks is killing Holland in White London. And so he agrees to go with her. Meanwhile, Lila and Rye go to rescue Kel, only to discover that he has rescued himself. He has been released. Alucard joins them, and Hastra has a weird moment where he explains that he saw Kel in the orchard with this strange woman, but there's something about Hastra that says that he's been compelled, that he like wasn't intervening, that she did something to him. And obviously this is setting off all of her red flags, like trouble, trouble, trouble. They get there. They are too late. Kel has already left with Oshka. Kel arrives in White London and finds himself staring at Holland. Holland, who he was sure he killed and now is resurrected, is like in the peak of health and power and understands very quickly that something is severely wrong. And before he can get out, that collar is clamped around his neck. And all of his magic is severed from him. All of his power is severed from him. And back in Red London, Rye immediately collapses to the ground, because of course Kell's magic is what is keeping Bri alive. It is what is keeping him on this earth. Lila realizes immediately that something is being done to Kell, that that's what's happening. Kell wakes in White London to find Holland, who tells him he needs to accept Oseron's deal. He needs to let Oseron in, and Kell refuses. And Oseron says to Holland, "I told you what I would do. I'll take you instead." And Oseron leaves Kell there and strolls away with Holland's body. And meanwhile, Lila races to White London. She doesn't even know if she's a full Antari magician. She doesn't know if she's even going to be able to make a door into this world. But she infamously says, as she puts her bloody hand against the wall, "Whatever I am, let it be enough." And that is the end of A Gathering of Shadows. Luckily for you, A Conjuring of Light is on shelves now, and we are going to pick up next week. And this book starts roughly 10 seconds after this book ends. Thank you for joining me.